This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Friday, the 3rd of January at 12:04. I'm in studio today with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And of course, our producer of today is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
There you go. For everybody who loves Christine Wong's little voice, say it again, Christine.
Hello.
There we go. She gave everybody a Happy New Year yesterday. Do you want to say Happy New Year again, Christine?
Happy New Year.
There we go. Okay. Today's topic of discussion, our main topic. If you've read the news yesterday and you've decided to ignore the whole education minister thing, we're talking about the renewal of Dago Rides license. 3 years ago, they were taken off the roads due to public safety concerns. They've now been given the go-ahead. They started riding again on New Year's Day with 700 new riders. Of those, 200 women have applied so far. I believe only 50 women have been accepted so far. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to know that there are women applying for it. Our question, though, is a very simple one. Would you or would you not use a motorbike e-hailing service? Do let us know. We have a poll running over on Instagram. We've also got our Twitter up, of course. And, of course, if you want to get in touch, via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We've then got a story about privacy in the workplace and why it is important. Wrapping up, of course, with 8 ways to make your fitness resolutions stick.
Sure not.
You see, this is the thing, right? We always make these resolutions and we always say, I'm going to stick to it. Hopefully, these 8 solutions might make them stick.
The one thing we do stick to is the fact that these resolutions are the same ones year
after year.
Every year,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, let's kick off with the story about Dago Ride then. So 3 years after a ban over public safety concerns in 2017, they hit their own New Year's Day with 700 approved riders aimed at providing a solution for the last mile connections in the country. They will be covering areas like Putrajaya, Shah Alam and the Klang Valley. Reported in the Star, the company is looking to expand its coverage to other regions and states and is in the process of vetting over 4,000 rider applications. I do know that somebody on our Twitter timeline has in fact visited the Dago website to get some information, and they're asking for stuff like the resume and work experience and photos. More on that in a little bit later. They are looking, of course, for more female riders, as riders can only cater to passengers of their own gender. At the moment, only about 100 female riders have signed up, with less than 50 approved, so my number was incorrect. According to the NST, the service is only available for travel within a 10-kilometre radius from a passenger's current location. You are charged ringgit for the first 3 kilometres of the ride, and then ringgit for every subsequent kilometre. At the moment, only cash payments are accepted. All passengers are covered under insurance provided by Dago Ride as a safety guarantee in the event of an accident. Now, the Youth and Sports Minister, Saeed Sadiq, was quoted by the Star as saying that the company had plans to create 5,000 employment opportunities for youths who could earn between 1,500 and 3,500 ringgit monthly. Also, according to the NST, they originally launched in November 2006 with over 5,000 riders, banned by the previous government after 3 months because of safety concerns. In 2019, the Transport Minister, Anthony Loke, announced that the government would allow ride-hailing firms to operate on a limited scale for 6 months starting this year. So they're kind of in a bit of a trial period. Mm. Now, we asked for feedback earlier on before the show started on Frida's show when I spoke with Frida at 10 a.m. this morning. We've had a whole bunch of responses already, which we will get to a little bit later on. Of course, we've got our own concerns. We've got our own questions that, you know, we'd like to discuss with you guys as well. Audrey's first question, because this is actually Audrey's story. She came with it this morning and she was like, Rich, would you take a ride-hailing motorbike? And I immediately said no. And I am somebody who used to ride a motorcycle regularly. And I don't think that I could force myself to do it here in Malaysia. I personally don't feel confident enough in some of the riders out there. I'm not saying it's all of them. I'm just saying that from what I have seen and the way in which some of these riders treat the road, I would not feel very confident riding on the back of these guys.
Mm.
Now, ladies.
What about you, Frida?
Is it a Harley?
No, it's not.
You're not going to get where you want to in a shorter time if it's going to be a Harley.
And they'll certainly charge you more than 3 ringgit and 1 ringgit per kilometre.
You see, and that's the thing, right? Is it a mindset thing? As I'm going through with you, and you said you've rode on a bike, right? And in different countries. And I've been in a tuk-tuk, right? In India, right? Mm. And you know that is, and I have no worry. Somehow, even though we're an inch away from the other tuk-tuk, but I feel confident because they know what's going on. So I don't know whether I would dare to, because I will tell my son, don't ride a motorbike, right? Mm. But I don't know whether, if I'm desperate, would I do that?
So for me, I think this is an idea that could definitely work here. And I'm totally for this because I am the biggest scaredy cat when it comes to bikes. But I had no choice but to take a Grab bike when I was in Bangkok recently. And it totally changed my travel experience. And I think this could definitely work because everyone is going to be complaining about, oh, you know, what are our roads like? What are our riders like? You see how the motorcyclists today, they're just so careless. And they're speeding, and not all of them will be your Digo bike rider, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing: there are the same conditions in Indonesia and in Bangkok and in Thailand as well, right? But these ride-hailing bike services are thriving. One of the reasons why, what is the big one that wants to come to
Gojek,
right? You know, we've been. I know many people who are used to taking these ride-hailing bike services abroad. They are waiting for Gojek to come here just because it is going to be so much cheaper and so much faster. And we traffic conditions in Kuala Lumpur, this is what we need to do just for that last mile service. I mean, that's in my opinion. So I'm really excited about this. But the one like kind of downside to this is the fact that, you know, as a female, I can only get on a bike that is being driven by a female as well. I think it should be a choice.
Mm. You see, I think the other factor with this, if this increases, right, there's going to be a lot more bikes on the road, which isn't very good for our, you know, as
green policies.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's the other situation as well. I'm also referring to what the youth and sports minister Syed Saddiq said, and I had a conversation with someone recently. So this is to create 5,000 employment opportunities for youths who could earn between 1,005 and 3,005 monthly. Now look at this 10 years down the road, and people think this is a career opportunity with self-driving vehicles and electric, you know, that kind of direction that we're moving. What are these people going to do when that comes about, right? So is it a temporary measure? I don't see this as a career.
Right.
The same could be said for Grab drivers right now,
no,
right?
Exactly. You know, this and Grab drivers as well, is that just, you know, a stopgap measure and not a long-term?
I mean, there's another couple of things. You know, for when you were talking about Bangkok, or you know, and places like
Jakarta,
that, and
Jakarta, congested,
which is thoroughly congested, and I don't take back what I say. If I look at it differently, right? If I'm using a motorcycle, if I'm riding pillion from somewhere like Bangsar to work, it's an 11-minute car ride, and it's along part of the highway, and it's not a long stretch, but it feels like it's a long stretch. If I was in the city in congested traffic down like in Chinatown, that area, somewhere around there, then I'd feel a little bit more comfortable because it's more of a stop-start kind of thing. And that I'd feel okay with. But on the longer stretch where it's straight roads and you can go a lot faster, that's when I start to feel a little bit more uncomfortable. You know, if it's the kind of smaller places, then I'm fine, I suppose, with it. But it's the longer stretches that I feel a little bit more uncomfortable with.
I remember when I was in Bangkok and I tried to get a Grab ride to the hotel or something like that and just could not get a Grab. And it was quite expensive as well because it was just, you know, downtown, smack in the middle of all the traffic in Bangkok. But then I realized that the bike was half the price, and it actually got me there at in less than half the time. So I think, at, you know, push come to shove, the convenience is going to trump everything else. Mm. I mean, right now we might say no, and I know you were talking to me, Richard, about how uncomfortable it would feel to sit on the back of a stranger's bike. You know, I mean, sitting with someone that you don't know on a bike, right? You don't know how this person rides. You don't know if you trust this person, if this person's going to take you somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I think the first time you try it, then you kind of gain confidence. And like I said, the convenience is going to trump everything else.
But what about the sweaty helmets?
No, here's the thing. There's a photograph of our youth and sports minister, Syed Saddiq, on the back of a Digo bike. And he's actually wearing a bright blue and seemingly clean helmet and a yellow bright
it's a photo
day,
day one.
And I'm just wondering if, you know, they will be providing us with like hygienic helmets and jackets as well. You know, this is a pretty picture, though.
Okay, right. But to be safe... Yeah. You have to have a helmet that fits correctly, right? I mean, and I have a small head, and it's a very difficult thing for me to find a helmet that fits comfortably, you know, and feel safe in. And I don't want to be putting something on my head that's kind of rattling around. And I've known someone who's been wearing it since 6 a.m. that morning. You know, the hygiene thing is another big issue for me.
For a less than 10-kilometer ride, though, before you're done agonizing with this, you'd be off the bike already.
Nobody likes helmet head. Nobody likes helmet hair. Right, on that note, we need to take a short break. Let us know what you think, folks. If you want to get voting, we have a poll running up over at Instagram. That's at BFM Radio, of course. Get us on Twitter as well, also at BFM Radio. And if you've got a bit more to say, we're on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Courtney Barnett up next with Nameless and Faceless. We've got some Vox Pops will be playing for you a little while when we come back as well. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back with you here on BizBytes on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by...
Audrey Raj. Frida Liu.
We're discussing, after 3 long years, Malaysia's first e-hailing bike service is back on the road with 700 riders. Would you take one? Yes or no? Why? Why not? Let's go to Twitter first with Odds.
This is from Roberto, who says, no way, I'll never ride an e-hailing motorbike ride. The way these guys drive on the road and off the road makes them insecure at all known and unknown levels. And he's got a little meme of a cat just shaking
its head.
Such a cutie.
Do we have any WhatsApps as well, Frida?
Yes, we do. Jonathan, he has sent this link of, can bike taxis really compete with Uber? Pedal power versus petrol for the morning commute. And he said, wouldn't this be safer than motorbikes? So, just a thought. C.H. Chua says, years back when my wife and I just got married, I planned dinner at a place in Bangkok. We took a cab and good Lord, we were stuck in a jam. After a good while consideration, we decided to take a bike for over a 15-kilometer ride. It was hell of a ride in a good way. And Vietnam too. Somehow I felt okay with it. So yeah, probably will use it if I had to.
Mm. Vietnam is very different, though. They're very motorbike-centric, right? I've got some over on Insta Story, quite a few, actually. Suja Jun has said it's convenient and time-saving. Firdaus said not expecting the professionalism or the standards like a car would give. Jin Rong, mainly for safety reasons. Too many variables and my head's too big for the helmet. I have the opposite problem. Dennis Ong has said, nope, because it will mess up my hair unless I'm bringing my own helmet due to hygiene issues. Amin Janai has said, motorbike safety is always a concern. We've then got, oh yes, grab car ain't cheap, and perhaps short distances we can use the bike to skip traffic. Chris Aru has said, too many accidents in Malaysia, and the majority of that happens because of bikes. Snake Solidus says, safety issues. And Gwen has said, scared lah with the way some motorcyclists ride in Malaysia.
I also scared lah.
Ah.
So here's the thing. I was talking to this uncle over the Christmas period, and he was talking about how he hasn't actually noticed much rim pits on the road because he lives somewhere in the Cheras area, and he said that every weekend on a Friday night or a Saturday night, you have hundreds of these young kids on motorbikes, you know, pulling stunts on the Taman Connaught stretch of road. And he was saying how that over the last year or so, he's not seen as many, and his theory is they're all doing food delivery for Grab.
I think
I agree.
So.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, this is the 5,000 job opportunities that our youth and sports minister is talking about, you know, allowing these young ones to actually do something. We've been complaining about the unemployment rate in the country, but at least it's giving these guys a little bit of pocket money or a bit more to do other stuff.
Okay, so I mean, just digressing a little bit, when you give them a bit of money, you must have a career progression for them that they get out of this, the blue collar thinking. You know what I mean? It's great temporary, but now that you're doing this, you sort of like help them in upgrading their lives.
Agreed. Looking at Twitter, we have more people who actually say yes, they might try it. Chiang Chin Wang says yes, if the price is right, it's cost and time saving. That's My Full Name says cheaper, faster, why not? I used to get a lift on our dispatch clerk's bike in the morning as he lived in the same neighborhood. The Inquisitive Observer / Thinker has actually sent us an image, and it says here, downloaded the DGO Ride app but ended up no go at plenty of document requests. I think what this person has tried to do is try to apply to be a rider, and they've asked for the resume, CV, work experience, your photo, plenty of document requests.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, though. We want as much information as possible about these riders. I've got another couple here, actually.
Me too.
Najman has said a cheaper option, so yes. And then May has said, have you seen the way bikers ride on the road? That's a big concern for all of us, and that's what we're discussing now, is whether or not these riders, once they are given a job and given a permission to do this, you know, and they've moved on from riding at Jalan Connaught or whatever it is to actually having people on the back of their bike, whether or not that mindset changes as well, because then you're responsible for somebody, then you've got responsibility of keeping your job and all of that kind of stuff. Maybe, as much as we're saying it's a bad idea because these guys are doing this, this might be what they need.
Right, so Alexander said, it's no more than 10 kilometres, so no worries. Lok Kok Yen said, one big reason, Malaysians have no road discipline. Celine Chan, I brought my own shower cap to Bangkok to ride a motorbike
taxi.
That's a
good idea.
There you go. But you still have helmet hair, though. Uh-huh. Johan said, while I wait for the roller coaster in Genting is ready.
Ah.
Okay.
So here's the thing, right? What do you do when you're in a Grab car and the driver is just terrible, you know, and he doesn't put a signal or just cuts into another person's lane? Or what do you do right after? You rate the person, right?
Yes.
And you rate the person poorly.
Yes. Yeah, right?
So similarly, this could be done with the bikes as well. And I think just enforcement just needs to be ruthless when it comes to things like this. If they are a reckless rider, then they need to be taken off the road.
Two things, right? I mean, when you know, this comment about Malaysians have no road discipline, and as disciplined as the bike riders are, I'm worried about the cars, the car drivers, whether they are disciplined and whether, you know, they'll cause injuries to the bike riders as well.
I mean, there is this big car versus bike thing mentality here, for sure. Yeah. You know, one blaming the other blaming the other, and it's backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. I think nobody is more responsible than the other person. You know, if you're driving a car, it's your responsibility to check your mirrors. If you're riding a bike, it's your responsibility to make sure you're not always in people's blind spots.
So simple rules with bike riding, you should always be staying on the left side
of
the road, not how they are driving right now, all over.
Crisscrossing,
they shouldn't be doing that. So like I see some places where it is, that's how it should be done. Mm. We're not following these rules.
Well, I mean, when I first moved here, it's the first country I've ever lived in that I've seen people undertaking on the highway, you know, and I'm like, I'm sure that's illegal, and yet people are still doing it. With that in mind, we have some Vox Pops that we'd like to get to. We managed to, Christine managed to run around the office and ask some of our staff whether or not they would take their own life into their hands and ride on the back of some of these e-hailing bike services. And this is what they had to say.
I would use a motorcycle e-hailing service, but only to get somewhere quick and I know that the traffic is bad, but not when it's raining.
Absolutely not. I don't think I would ever use an e-hailing service. I don't think it's safe. I don't like the feeling of being exposed. I've seen motorcyclists on the road and I feel that they're very vulnerable. I'm used to being in a car. I would never even consider it.
Yes, definitely. I wouldn't mind. I'm a biker myself, so I really wouldn't mind using an e-hailing service for bikes.
I would not use a motorbike e-hailing service, mainly because I've used motorbike taxis in Bangkok before and I didn't feel safe. And I also don't actually really know how to balance properly on a motorbike. So I feel that I would be pretty susceptible to getting hurt in some way, shape or form.
couple of things I want to immediately come back on there. The amount of people that I've met who do not know how to ride a bicycle here it's a big deal, you know, because that is part of riding a bike and riding a motorbike. Balance is a big thing, right? And yes, the more you use it, the more you get used to it and you learn. But that's a big thing. And I think that should be something that should be taught in schools, you know?
What, riding a bike?
Yes, I think it should be. I think it should be one of those little life skills, like swimming.
I think with the dawn of all our screens today, I think the number of people who don't know how to ride a bike, I'm pretty sure it's increasing.
Yeah, right. But the other thing is, of course, which we should have touched on and we haven't touched on yet, is the weather here in Malaysia, right? And how business for these riders will be affected during inclement weather and whatever. When it's storming outside, these poor fellas or poor women are going to have to stop doing what they're doing. And where are these folks going to go? I mean, it's okay right now where some of them can get under the bridges or the flyovers or whatever, and we see that. But if we're increasing between 3,500 to 5,000 new jobs, that's dangerous as well. I don't want to be riding on the bike when it's raining.
Iguan from on WhatsApp said, accidents waiting to happen.
I don't know. I mean, this is just our opinion, folks. Of course, we'd like to get yours as well. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, both at BFM Radio. We have a poll running over on Instagram. If you'd like to take part, head over there. I can very quickly tell you what the numbers are. We are at 52% of you would say no, you would not get on the back of one of these bicycles. Motorbike, rather. 48% of you are saying yes. We have over 80 votes so far.
It's 50-50-ish.
Almost 50-50, yes. Let's take a short break while you guys think about this. We've got music up next from the king of the swinging hips, Elvis Presley, with Little Sister. When we come back, story number two, Leave Me Alone, Why Privacy at Work is Important. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.